Today's Bible readings were read at the first service of the Greyfriars Presbyterian Church. I'm reading from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
I don't have a deep voice, I've just got a cold. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 23. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. By the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will not be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Amen.
Shall we pray? Loving God, we have gathered today to worship and glorify you. You are our King. You are the loving God. You are the God who reveals. And this morning, you have revealed already much to us. And now we await what you have revealed to John. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide his lips so that he can express to us your thoughts as well as his own. Heavenly Father, then cause us to listen, to hear, and to respond. Help us to rely on you, and help us to allow you to free us. This is our prayer, and we pray in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Well, good morning again. And again, I extend, as Ron has, a welcome to you all. It is so good to be able to be here and to be in God's presence for a very special occasion in the life of our church. Before I move on to my message, I just wanted to share with you one or two practical things about what's going to happen after the service. So, when our service is complete, we would ask people perhaps just to wander out onto the grass and leave some space here in the hall for those young and strong, just to help us move some of the seats around and to bring some tables out. And we'll just take a little while to put those things in place, and then we will invite people to come back in and to be seated and ready for the meal. But if you can just give us some space for that to happen, that would be really, really good. Today we're thinking about foundations for the future. And this is such a significant day in the history of our church. Today we mark the two congregations that become one. And not very long from now, I'm going to invite Reverend Roy Christian, the moderator of the Northern Presbytery, to actually declare it, that this is what has happened and this is who we are. But as we think about that, there are several important things for us to keep in mind at this time. We are doing this for the glory of God and for his kingdom. That is our purpose in being here. That is why he has called us into his family, so that we may glorify God and help to advance his kingdom in Epsom and Mount Eden. First and foremost, we are God's family. We are his children. He has joined us together. He has planted us in this city. He has been working through people from the past and working into our present to build his church, so that we can be his people in this place. And it is because of God that we are here. And we are here for God. God has reached out to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, his saving grace to us on the cross, so that we might know what it is to have our sins forgiven, so that we might know what it is to be washed clean and to have a relationship with God that calls us into relationship with each other. It is through his death on the cross, his life-giving resurrection, that all these things that we enjoy today are ours. And by his Spirit, who has inspired us, who has inspired faith in our hearts and our lives, so that as God opens up this way for us, we find the faith within to step out and to step up into that. And throughout this year, the glory of God has been seen, working through us and in us. In this journey together towards this moment, we see the glory of God. God's hand has been there at every moment. And from the very first meeting of our parish councils in December last year, and through the meetings of our congregations and our discussions and our decisions, we cannot help but say we have seen the hand of God in all of these things. And so this, O Lord, we do in your name. And we do it for your glory. Be blessed, Lord Jesus, by your people in this place. And so we have done this and we continue to do this. Our aim, past and present and into the future, is to glorify God. And we recognize that we could not do this if it were not for the people from our past. Our records show that people in Epsom began worshipping in homes until the church was built in 1906. And as was mentioned at that service earlier, on the afternoon of the 31st of March, Reverend Macaulay Caldwell, we are told, preached a very fine sermon on the subject of Christian service. And so the foundation for Epsom Presbyterian Church was laid upon the foundation of Christ and upon this idea of Christian service. And since that time, through various ministers and elders and parish council and the people of the church, they have been building upon that foundation. And today and into the future, we want to continue to build on that foundation of Christian service. At Mount Eden, we are fortunate to have a copy of the order of service for the opening of the church. In fact, there were three services that day, in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. We know the hymns that were sung, and we have sung some of those today. We know the readings from that service, and we have heard those readings today. And we, in a sense, are linked with those people of the past and the church worldwide where these readings have come, where these hymns have been sung. The Reverend Shaw, the first minister at Greyfriars, at his induction 2 months after the opening of the building, said, "Our work here is to bring the hearts of men to the knowledge of the riches that are in Christ and to bring them to a personal acceptance of Christ. And our work here has never changed, to bring people to the riches that are in Christ and to help them have that personal relationship and acceptance of Christ into their hearts and into their lives." And so we can see both at Epsom and at Mount Eden, there was a foundation that was laid, which was made from gold and silver and the jewels of the Scripture, a good foundation and a firm foundation, based on that foundation stone, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And the people of the past have built upon that. And we celebrate today their contribution with grateful hearts. Yet as we are mindful that our task today could not be undertaken without the saints of the past, our task today is not to dwell on the past, but to live in the present and to prepare for the future. Our task is not to live in the past in such a way as to try to preserve it as some sort of sanctuary, some sort of shelter from the things of our present day. Our task is to glorify God and proclaim His good news in present day Auckland. So one of these views is from Mount Eden, looking across to One Tree Hill. And one is from One Tree Hill, looking across to Mount Eden. This is the city in which we live. This is the place of which our parish, each of us, has a part to play. We are to be a church in a city that is troubled by roastbusters and wondering about the morality of our leaders and trying to think with others, how do we make this city a good place to live and affordable for our children and those who come after us? We are to be a church who prayerfully engages with current issues, engaging with the things that are happening in our world. We are to be people who can show compassion to others like those in the Philippines who have had such tragic loss in the devastating storm that struck them. And that we are to be a people who are concerned with those caught up in wars like those in Syria. These are the modern day things that we face. These are the modern day situations in which we are called to proclaim the gospel and to be the gospel as God works through us. And this requires us to be faithful to God's call upon us and courageous to step out into the world and the challenges that are before us. And both our readings help to guide us in this process. Psalm 24 encourages us to seek the Lord and to open wide the ancient gates that the King of Glory may come in. If we are to stand out in this community, it will only be because the King of Glory is here among us, and that we have opened wide the physical doors and the doors of our hearts, and we have allowed the King of Glory to come in, and we have allowed him to reside, and we are willing to do what the King of Glory asks us to do. It's the presence of God that makes the difference. And in 1 Corinthians, it encourages us to think of ourselves as God's fellow workers, to lay a good foundation in the time that we have, so that those who follow us have something good to build upon. God's part is to be present. Our part is to work with him in all of these things. And so the admonition is given, be careful how you build. Take care in what you do. Look closely at what you are doing with your life and with your energy and with your time. And the challenge to us and the question for our hearts is, how will you build? How will you build? How will you build today in your life, in the life of this church? In my last parish at Tohunanui in Nelson, we were fortunate not only to know what was sung and read at the first service there, but to have an outline of the minister's prayer for the future of the church. And I think similar prayers might well have been prayed at the first sermons, the first services at Epsom and Mount Eden. In this prayer, it was asked that God's house, that on God's house, his blessing would rest upon very many, so that here, little children might learn of their Savior, that those engaged in the battle of life may derive renewed strength for the righteous life, that those who were suffering from bereavements should find comfort and cheer from the messages of God, and that the aged find fresh assurance that this life is not all, but have brought clearer to their view that great temple of God, the house not made of hands. And these were the things that were prayed, and I'm sure have been prayed in many churches many times, in which again we begin to reflect today. What is it that we desire to build as a united church? I think reflecting on that prayer and the priorities of the church, we look to God. We look to God to bless us so that his presence will be here with us. We put our hearts into service, Christian service, so that children and young people may find Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and from their earliest days delight him and delight in him. So that families and all those people in their middle years may find their faith being strengthened and having a righteous life that is pleasing to God. And so that people who are struggling can hear among his people find help and strength and rest for their souls. And that here the aged would find renewed hope as they see the church flourishing and a new generation rising up to build upon that foundation that has been laid before, reaching out more into our community, touching more and more lives, seeing that their prayers over the span of their life are being answered by those who God is raising up in this time. God has given us purpose and direction in this. We know our mission. This is what we're doing. This is what we're involved in. This is what God has called us to help people know and follow Jesus. We know our vision, to be a vibrant and thriving multi-generational and multicultural Christian church, faithfully following Jesus. We are a church on a path, and God has placed a direction for us to go, and we know where we are going as a church. We are making a difference in this place, and we will continue to make a difference here. And we know that for people's lives, we want each of us to be able to develop the spiritual health so that we individually, as families and as a church, find ourselves increasingly living in love, growing in faith, uniting in purpose, devoted in worship, sharing in fellowship, proclaiming the gospel, and serving with compassion. And we know in our hearts, we know in our minds that if we do these things, our lives will grow and flourish in the kingdom of God, and so will the lives of others. We've spoken of these things before, and so it's not my intention to try and dwell on them today, but we will constantly remind ourselves, this is what God has put on our hearts. This is the direction that God is taking us. And so as we begin this new season in our church life, we do so with challenge. Let us be a church who, while respecting the pioneers of the past, step out into the future unhindered by old constraints. Now, I know I'm taking this next verse out of context, but I think you will see and understand the connection, where the writer of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And so I'm not inferring in any way at all that the things of the past are sinful. But what I'm saying is that there are some things from the past which now do not really fit into our present day. And if we cling to them, or if we allow them to cling to us, we will not be able to run the race that Christ has put before us. And I know this is a challenge, and yet it is a challenge that we need to pick up and go with. And let us also be a church who are willing to make hard decisions. To make the hard decisions so that our church can help reach the people of our day, even if these decisions are costly to us. Listen carefully to the next two words. Don't panic. Don't panic. I mean, I'm going to say some things, but they're not things in any sense set in concrete, but I want to raise them up without frightening you, and yet to raise them up in such a way that we do start to grasp them. So there are no immediate plans. But what if shaping our church life for the future means that we don't rebuild the church here at Mount Eden? Or what if it means that we sell the church at Epsom? These are not decisions that we need to make today or this month or even this year. But in a couple of years, we will be faced with these decisions, and they may be for us hard decisions, spiritually hard, emotionally hard decisions to make. Do we have the courage to make sacrificial decisions which we may not immediately benefit from, but which will be of benefit for the extension of the kingdom of God in our day and into the future? Are we more inclined to pursue our own preferences, or are we willing to seek first the kingdom of God, whatever that costs us, whatever that shape may be? And also a challenge, let us be a church that seeks the blessing of God to grow, and a church that works hard to see it happen. I have said this before, and I say it again and quite plainly for you. I hope you will hear and take this on board and understand it. My heart's desire is to see the church grow, both at Mount Eden and Epsom. I would love to see that happen. I know there are so many people here who echo that prayer and would love to see that happen. And if it were to happen, if we were to see significant growth here and significant growth at Gardiner Road, then the difficult decisions that we have to make would be quite different difficult decisions. The issue would not be, do we need to close a church, but where can we open a church so that we have more room for people to gather in God's name? And the question is, are you willing to step up? Are you willing to do what is needed for the next 2 years to see if God will richly bless us so that we don't have to make those difficult decisions that none of us want to make? Will you be the laborers in that harvest field of God. The first sermon at Epsom was on Christian service. Are you willing to step up to that level of Christian service, of generous giving, so that when we call a prayer meeting, we have to open more than one room because there are so many people that want to come? Like Jacob, will you wrestle with God in prayer and say to him, God, I will not let you go until you bless us, until you bless us as a church? And will you be an encourager of people? Will you build people up with your speech, with your actions, and with your attitude? It is so easy to be negative. It is so easy to find the thing that has gone wrong and to focus on that. But what we need is people who will encourage each other in the steps of faith that are before us. And so if someone is going to take a step of faith, will you be there to cheer them on? And not only to cheer them on, but to stand alongside them. And not only to stand alongside them, but to take that step of faith with them. Like the writer of Hebrews, will you encourage one another and spur each other on to love and good works? Will you step up and engage in the life of the church so that there is a sense of excellence and effectiveness in all of our ministries? I am confident that if you and I will put aside what hinders, step out in faith, support each other in prayer, be encouragers who are committed to doing what God calls us to do, then we will see the rich blessing of God, and we will have laid strong foundations for the generations who follow us. I close with the word of God. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. If I were to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. This is a word for us. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you have planned for us, O Lord, we cannot recount to you. We cannot begin to speak or imagine or tell of them, for they are too many. And this is what lies before us, the wonderful care and love of God. To you, O Lord, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory now and forevermore. Amen.